Welcome back to the second hour of Issues Etc. This Wednesday, the 24th of October, I'm Todd Wilkin, and joining us here in just a few minutes, Pastor Charles Lehman of Peace with Christ Lutheran Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. He's joined us on a regular basis to discuss from time to time many subjects, but among them, the Harry Potter set of novels. It's been a subject that we've dealt with extensively for the last several years here on Issues Etc. Well, J.K. Rowling last week decided to make, well, it sounded like an unplanned announcement. Before we welcome Pastor Lehman, let's get the AP story on J.K. Rowling in New York in Carnegie Hall last week with a bunch of Harry Potter fans. Oh, hey, before we do that, here's an email that came in, and I didn't get to it in the last segment. In answer to the question, what's so great about Christianity? In fact, it was so good, I wanted to save it until the very end, and then I ran out of time. It comes from Chris in Carson City, Nevada. He says, in answer to the question, what's so great about Christianity? Christianity takes the sting out of death. And the atheist can posture all he wants, but he knows that death is bad. Every time he gets mad about the war in Iraq because people are dying, or little children who are murdered, or even when they are sad because someone close to them dies in a tragedy, they prove the sting of death. Christianity is great because it's the only religion that takes the sting out of death, because it's the only religion whose founder is risen. Smartest listeners in radio, also the smartest guests as well. Pastor Charles Lehman will join us here in just a minute. First, let's hear the AP story on J.K. Rowling and her announcement about one of the Harry Potter characters.
Harry Potter fans, how about this plot twist? Albus Dumbledore, master wizard and headmaster of Hogwarts, is gay. Author J.K. Rowling outed the character to a packed house at New York's Carnegie Hall. It happened after Rowling read from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. A young fan asked if Dumbledore finds true love.
Mentors were there by coincidence, Minister.
She then said Dumbledore is gay, smitten with a rival he defeated long ago in a battle between good and bad wizards, saying Dumbledore was horribly, terribly let down. Fans have speculated on the wizard's life before. Rowling says not everyone likes her work. Some groups say the books promote witchcraft. Rowling says this latest revelation gives them one more reason. Tim McGuire, the Associated Press.
Well, that's my question. Is it just one more reason for Christians who don't want to not to read or have anything to do with the Harry Potter novels? Pastor Charles Lehman is associate pastor at Peace with Christ Lutheran Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. Pastor Lehman, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Were you surprised when you heard the news about J.K. Rowling's answer to that question that revealed that Dumbledore is gay?
My initial response was that I didn't believe it. And then I thought about it for a little more, and then the more I thought about it, the less surprising it was. Not necessarily because of anything that is written in the books about Dumbledore, but simply because of the environment that Christianity has in England where J.K. Rowling lives. It isn't that surprising that someone who grows up in the Church of England, in England, would end up writing a story in the way that it turns out that she did.
Now, for those who have not read the books, they might be thinking, wow, these books, if what J.K. Rowling says in her mind has always been true, that this fictional character of hers is gay, although they're going to say, look, if I let my kids read these books, if I read these books, am I going to be able to detect the lilt in Dumbledore's step? Is this going to be obvious from what I read in the Harry Potter novels? Your answer.
No, not at all. I think that if Rowling would have never said anything on this topic, then no one would have ever guessed that Dumbledore was gay. The only thing that would suggest it is that he's really old and he's unmarried. And so, sure, there are going to be questions about why that is, but there are many answers to that question, only one of which, you know, is the answer that she ultimately gave. It could have been for a number of reasons. And though I've speculated about whether Dumbledore was married in the past and, you know, things like that, this was never really an option that I gave serious consideration to. In fact, I can't remember ever giving that possibility any thought at all.
Okay, a couple of questions here. What I find disturbing about J.K. Rowling revealing this about the fictional character of Dumbledore is that if you read the novels, Dumbledore, as long as he's in the scene and on the scene, and sometimes he is and sometimes he isn't, in many ways kind of embodies virtue. He's the guiding light for young Harry Potter as he grows. He's kind of coordinating things behind the scene. He is in many ways the icon of what the good and wise wizard ought to be. Am I reading the character correctly?
I would say that I had almost exactly that perspective on Dumbledore until the very last book. And that's actually one of the things that I appreciated about the last book. This announcement would be much more troubling to me if she would have approached book 7 in a different way. But what she did is she spent a great deal of time in book 7 showing that though Dumbledore is, heroic in many ways, he does lead the fight against Voldemort during the first time that he is in power, and he really is trying to, shape the minds of these young people for the good. Book 7 shows kind of the dark side of Dumbledore. It shows that there was a time in his life when this really wasn't his approach. He really wanted to seek power for power's sake, and his motivations were flawed, and he really wasn't, the perfect figure that, he had given the impression of being in the first 6 books. And so the fact that Rowling was very intentional about showing kind of the humanity of Dumbledore in book 7 makes it a lot easier for me to just say, well, Dumbledore was not a perfect character. He had flaws. His seeking of power was one of them, and here is another.
Timothy emails us from Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, where he asks a series of some interesting questions that I think do need to be answered. He says, among other things, how can a fictional character who has not evidenced gay thoughts or behavior in the books be gay? What does this even mean? Asks Timothy.
You know, that's a question that I've noticed has been asked rather frequently on blogs and such in the last few days. There are some people who are saying, oh, what Rowling says about Dumbledore is irrelevant because the text doesn't give any evidence of Dumbledore being gay. Therefore, Dumbledore is not gay, and what the author thinks about it is irrelevant. I think that that's going a little far. I do think that Dumbledore is Rowling's character, and that it is her privilege to tell us more of his background than she actually places into the books. But that isn't to say that my view of Dumbledore is going to change significantly because Rowling has said this. It's simply not an important factor in the story at all. And so I think that I can still appreciate Dumbledore for the reasons that I did before I learned this last Friday.
Well, and the final question that Timothy puts to us from Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, in his email is, should this, the revelation of Dumbledore's proclivities, should this change the way the books are understood? What's your answer?
You know, I would say no. I would say that Dumbledore is a mixed figure, and that Rowling is very intentional about bringing that out. Now, from what she said at the time that she made this revelation, I would say that she would not say that Dumbledore's being a homosexual is part of the flawed nature of his character. I don't think that she views it that way. She's very much in line with the more liberal Christianity that you find in England. But at the same time, I would say that Dumbledore is a flawed character, just like we are all flawed characters, who, in the choices that he makes in the books, is very conscious of the need to defend what is good and right, and to protect his students, and to teach them how to be responsible adults. And I don't think that these sexual proclivities that have no place in the novel really change any of those facts about him that we see presented in the novel.
We're talking about a statement made by J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter series of books, last week in New York, that one of the main characters and one of the most beloved characters of the Harry Potter series, Albus Dumbledore, is gay, insofar as a fictional character can be gay. Pastor Charles Lehman is our guest. He's associate pastor at Peace with Christ Lutheran Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. Do you agree or disagree with Pastor Lehman on what we said so far? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us right here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's Anna calling from St. Louis. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. I had a question. Did J.K. Rowling actually mean that? Did she confirm it, or did she say it? She was really excited about her new book, and did she say it not on purpose, or did she have any resentment toward the Christians that don't really like her books, or something like that? That was my question for Pastor Lehman.
Well, that's a good question, Anna. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening, Pastor Lehman.
The impression I got from what I've read about this time in Carnegie Hall that the subject came up is that she was not intending to reveal that Dumbledore was gay, but that she just seemed like it was the appropriate answer to the question she was asked. The question she was asked was whether or not Dumbledore ever finds true love. And so her answer was, well, he's gay, and he had this, you know, love for Grindelwald, who is a dark wizard that he fights with earlier in his life, and that Grindelwald's turning to complete evil kind of broke his heart, and that's why you never see him in a romantic relationship throughout the rest of the series. So I don't think that this really had much to do with Rowling being resentful of people criticizing her books on Christian grounds. I think that it really was just an honest answer to the question that she was posed. I think really the most unfortunate aspect of this whole last couple of weeks regarding the Harry Potter series is that this news came out, I think, within a couple of days of when Rowling actually admitted that there is intentional Christian symbolism in the series. So I'm saddened that she makes this comment about Dumbledore at the same time that she is saying, hey, this series is a confession of my faith, because I do think that brings the gospel to shame by calling evil good and good evil. And that saddens me. But again, I think the question that was read earlier makes a good point. Since this doesn't really play a huge role in the actual text of the novels, I think that we can still appreciate the Christian symbolism that Rowling did manage to use in the telling of this story, and that we can look at Dumbledore as a sinner just like the rest of us. And in certain ways, that might help us to appreciate the series on a level that we might not have before, though I am saddened by kind of the implicit promotion of homosexual rights that is kind of in the background.
Jay is calling from his car. Jay, thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi, Pastor Todd. How are you?
Very well.
I hope I can. I've got a good question, and I'm not sure how to ask it, but I think by the time I get done, you'll understand it. the church's position on gay people, as I understand it, and I may be wrong, and I'm talking about the conservative church, is that the fact that you think you're gay is not as the problem. It's expressing that and having a relationship with another gay person. As far as I can tell, this character has never done anything like that, and might that not be to his credit?
I think you've asked it very well. Thank you very much for the question. Okay, first of all, what position does Scripture leave the faithful Christian in with regard to homosexual acts versus a inclination or a temptation to homosexual acts?
It's a little bit of a difficult question, but I would say that the focus of the Scriptures is on the act and not the inclination. The technical theological term that we would be talking about here is concupiscence, which basically means an addiction to sin. It's another word for original sin, and that because we are fallen, because we have lost the image of God given us in creation, our whole inclination, according to nature, is toward sin. Now, we all know that each individual is going to have stronger inclinations to some sins than others. I would say that for me, gluttony is a sin that I am particularly prone to. I really like to eat. I sometimes compare myself to a hobbit. And so that would be a sin that I particularly struggle with. Now, homosexuals are given this horrible burden that they have to struggle with their own sexuality, whereas for those who are heterosexual in inclination, that struggle can actually end in a God-pleasing way through marriage. Homosexuals don't ever have that option to express themselves in a God-pleasing way. Their inclination is only towards sin and can only be expressed in a sinful way. And as far as we know from the books, Dumbledore doesn't have a sexual relationship with Grindelwald, doesn't have a sexual relationship with anyone after this time with Grindelwald. And I would say, yes, this could be seen as, you know, Dumbledore is living this struggle, and is actually managing to preserve himself from that temptation. And so, yeah, I think that there is something there. Now, I'm not so sure that Rowling would see it in that way. I think Rowling sees it more in the sense of Dumbledore was wounded by, you know, this broken relationship with Grindelwald and never sought love again. So I think that she would see what we see as a positive, probably as a negative.
Okay, so to kind of reiterate, Scripture says that both the inclination toward homosexuality and the acts of homosexuality are both sinful. A person can bear the burden of those temptations and in repentance without sin, but it's okay. Help me out here, Pastor Lehman.
What you've said so far is absolutely good.
I'm trying to put it in terms I can understand, because I like the ladies, okay? So,
yeah.
Since I like the ladies,
the way the Apology to the Augsburg Confession puts it is that the inclination and the act are both sin. The fact that you want to do the evil thing is sin. And then doing the evil thing is sin. Now, we all have inclinations to various sins. You know, you and I are guys. We have the inclination toward breaking the sixth commandment, you know, through lust and that sort of thing. And so it's not to say that it's not sinful when we see that woman walking down the street and think less than pure thoughts about her. It's not that that isn't sin, and it's not that the fact that we're likely to do that isn't sin. But what what the distinction is that the scriptures make is that it's two different sins. The wanting to do it is one sin, and the actual doing it is another sin. It's a sin of thought versus a sin of deed. And God does give us strength to fight both sorts of temptation. And if what we see in the Harry Potter series is Dumbledore able to fight against the temptation of acting on whatever his desires might be, that is something that is praiseworthy.
Sharon is calling from St. Louis. Hi, Sharon.
I find it interesting that she says it's an answer to the question about true love. And Dumbledore had this disappointing relationship with this other wizard, and it was a power relationship. They wanted to take over the wizarding world and the human world. And when that went wrong, he was disappointed and then turned gay. And what is she actually saying? People go that way because they're disappointed and they can't actually ever find true love. I find that angle kind of interesting to ponder because that actually turns around what she's saying.
All right, Sharon, thank you very much. Pastor Lehman, you've only got about 30 seconds to respond to Sharon there.
My thought would be that I don't think Rowling is saying that he became gay because of the disappointment. But I do think what Sharon said about this power relationship being the context for Dumbledore's relationship with Grindelwald is really significant. Because ultimately, homosexuality is self-love, and it's misordered love. It is making sexual what should not be, and it is investing all kinds of things in the relationship that are simply not appropriate. And so I think in the broken nature of Dumbledore's relationship with Grindelwald from beginning to end, we actually do see a fairly clear image of the problem with homosexual love. And I think that Rowling, maybe without even realizing it, has issued a pretty damning condemnation of homosexuality by writing that part of the story in the way that she did.
Pastor Charles Lehman is Associate Pastor at Peace with Christ Lutheran Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. Thank you very much for being our guest.
It was a pleasure as always.
All right, folks, when we come back from this break, I want your thoughts on the Harry Potter series in light of this statement by its author that this main character, this pivotal character in the whole series of novels, is gay. I want to hear what you think about it. I've got an email from one of our listeners who says, I'm wondering what to make of the news. And Matt, perhaps you're still wondering too. I want your thoughts and your comments on it after this, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll also hear an interview between O'Reilly and a reporter on the story. We'll be right back with more Audio Open Lines.
I'm just wild about Harry, and Harry's wild about me. The heavenly blisses of his kisses fill me with ecstasy. He's sweet just like chocolate candy.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. is underwritten in part locally by Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois. Christ Our Savior is located at 612 North State Street in Freeburg. The Reverend Bruce Kaseman is the pastor. Their phone number, 618-539-5664, 618-539-5664. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg. An Issues Etc. underwriter on AM 850 KFUO. Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana invites you to join Issues Etc. regular guest Arthur Just, Larry Rast, and Carl Schalk for the Good Shepherd Institute November 4th through the 6th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary. This annual conference equips laypeople, musicians, and pastors to better serve their congregations through music and the Word. For more information on the Good Shepherd Institute, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 260-452-2256.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. The largest source of federal abstinence funding was preserved yesterday when three conservative senators were able to convince Senator Frank Lautenberg to drop an amendment that would have eliminated the funds. Steve Jordahl reports more than $100 million will continue to flow to abstinence until marriage programs.
It has been a good day.
That's how Valerie Huber of the National Abstinence Education Association characterized yesterday's turn of events. On its face, Lautenberg's amendment required funded programs to be medically accurate. Huber says if that's what it really would have done, she would have supported it. But
the concern with the Lautenberg amendment was that the way that definition was framed, it was a backdoor method to defund abstinence education.
Going into the day, Lautenberg seemed to be running full steam ahead to rip more than $100 million a year of federal funds from much-needed abstinence until marriage programs. Ashley Horn of Focus on the Family Action says he was convinced to slow the train down.
At the end of the day, after much consideration, Senator Lautenberg pulled his dangerous medical accuracy amendment, and so it will not be voted on. That is due in large part to diligent efforts by Senators Brownback, Leader McConnell, and Senator Bitter, who've been working very hard, as we understand, to remove that dangerous medical accuracy language.
Huber says that means abstinence education is alive for at least one more year.
We are very optimistic that we're looking at continued funding for CBAE in essentially the same form.
A good day indeed. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
Federal abstinence funding streams from three sources. The largest is CBAE funds from the Department of Health and Human Services. That's the money that was preserved yesterday. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Find yourselves at times becoming depressed or a bit confused due to circumstances in your life? Though there is no promise that the clouds and storms will cease, God does promise to help you to cope with the trials and tribulations of life. How does He do that? Through understanding law and gospel.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on AM 850 KFUO.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Jeff Walls is the co-author of our Book of the Month for October, Lutheran Pastors and Politics, Issues in the Public Square. You can learn more from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or find the book cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org. Lutheran Pastors and Politics costs $27.99 plus shipping and handling. Lutheran Pastors and Politics, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to pick up the story of Harry Potter with some Fox News O'Reilly interviews in just a moment. Concordia Seminary St. Louis is holding a special Reformation service October the 28th. We're going into this Reformation season where we remember about almost 500 years of the Lutheran Reformation that began on that October 31st when Luther posted the 95 Theses in Wittenberg and began something he never intended to begin. But once it was begun, it was time to finish. This special service at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis is 3 p.m. Sunday, October the 28th, in the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus, right here on the seminary campus. When you drive into campus, you cannot miss the chapel, and the public is invited to attend. It's a special Reformation service Sunday at 3 p.m. on October the 28th, celebrating the Reformation of the Church. Well, we just got done with Pastor Charles Lehman. He gave us his take on the news that, well, from J.K. Rowling, kind of unintentionally letting it slip in New York that one of the big characters in the Harry Potter series of novels, a pivotal character, is in fact gay. What do you make of it? Is it just another reason not to read the books, to stay away from them, to warn people away from them? Does it affect your opinion of the Harry Potter series? If you've been following what we've been saying in the past about how there may be, in fact, J.K. Rowling just this last week admitted that there's intentional Christian symbolism in the book, what do you do with that? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, issuesetc@kfuo.org. It is some tainted vindication because we've often talked about the possible Christian symbolism in the Harry Potter series And when we have, we've got a lot of heat from our listeners. I still want to hear from you who say, no, there's no Christian symbolism in there. And J.K. Rowling comes out and says, yeah, there is. And then not too many days later says, and by the way, Dumbledore's gay. Issues ETC at KFUO.org. From Sandusky, Ohio, here's Mike. Hi, Mike, and thanks for waiting.
Hi, Pastor Todd. I think this is a good reason, a good lesson for us in the LCMS on trying to Christianize things that really shouldn't be. As much as I respected Dr. Stuckwich, I really disagree with him when he was trying to pull the gospel out of this movie. I think just leave it as a good entertainment. I wonder sometimes if Dr. Walther was alive today, I think he would have treated this like a Methodist hymn and not give it time of day.
A Methodist hymn, you say?
Yes.
Okay, but just stay on the line there for a second.
Okay.
Because if you go back and listen to the interview that we did with Dr. Richard Stuckwish, it's pretty clear as you listen, and perhaps we could have made it clearer, he's not making the case that there's the gospel in Harry Potter. That's not the case he's trying to make. What he's trying to make the case for is that there's Christian symbolism and that the characters exhibit the same kind of, especially in particular, self-sacrifice, kind of salvation through self-sacrifice is a major Christian symbol insofar as that goes, that they exhibit this. I don't think Dr. Stuckwish would ever say that you can find the gospel in Harry Potter, but what he said is Christians who know the gospel will see strong resonance in the way that the characters think and how the plot unfolds. That's all the farther I think Dr. Stuckwish was willing to go. And I share your concern, by the way, of trying to Christianize stuff that isn't Christian. But do you think we could use these books perhaps to open a dialogue with unbelievers about Christianity? Let's just say, for the sake of argument, unbeliever says, I love those Harry Potter books, and isn't it stirring how the book ends with Harry giving his life to save essentially all the muggles in the world?
Well, I would kind of go the other direction. I would probably show that the bad side of the movie, in a sense, the witchcraft, the intrigue and the things, and show how sinful man is. And then I would share the gospel out of the gospels themselves.
All right.
I would go that route, and I would the other. But, you know.
Mike, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Ohio. See, someone walks up to you and they say, love those Harry Potter books. What do you like about them? You find out what they really like about it is that it is a great story which ends with self-sacrifice. Now, you're not going to get the gospel out of Harry Potter. It's not going to happen because Jesus isn't in there. There's no cross in there. To get the gospel out of Harry Potter, you'd have to have Jesus in there. There's no gospel without Jesus. But you could say, you know, I think it is a great story too. And in a way, it's kind of a knockoff on a greater story. A story that you will read in a book that's sold more than J.K. Rowling will ever sell as an entree to talking about the gospel. See, we have no business Christianizing stuff that isn't Christian, although I will point out that J.K. Rowling has admitted lately that she intentionally put Christian symbolism into the novels. To what end? We do not know. She might have just been like an artist who borrows Christian symbolism for artistic purposes. We don't know. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issues ETC at KFUO.org. Here's Phil calling from his car. Hi, Phil.
Hi. I'm wondering if she did this, put this homosexual character in there to maybe open the door that homosexuals will hear this and they'll read the book, and then maybe it would open their mind to the possibility of listening to the gospel.
Phil, thank you very much. I don't know, but I doubt it. She went on to talk about how the book is essentially about tolerance. And, of course, tolerance is, everyone kind of seems to know, a code word for affirming homosexual behavior rather than in any way questioning or condemning it. So I do not think she would consider homosexuals kind of the target for the gospel that she's trying to put out there. I don't think she would think they need it, really. Sally's calling from her car. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Pastor. I think J.K. Rowling is an extremely shrewd businesswoman. What better way to increase sales of the book, especially knowing this is the last one, than to make some kind of controversial statement. One, you're going to get more people to go back and reread or buy the book again and make sure, you know, see if they can pick up the leads. And the other is it opens it up to the homosexual community who now all of a sudden say, hey, literature that includes us. So I see it as a really smart marketing ploy on her part.
Well, Sally, I guess great minds or whatever kind of minds we have must be thinking alike. That's kind of my thought on this. It's an opinion, and I have nothing to base it on except that, wow, she does know how to market the books. And to say, look, Dumbledore's gay, suddenly everyone's paying attention again. And she has expressed a desire sometime in the future to write kind of the backstory of the whole Harry Potter series. As I think she's called it like a dictionary, an encyclopedia for the series of books, which is not unusual. J.R.R. Tolkien wrote the backstory to The Lord of the Rings. It was called The Silmarillion. No one's ever read it, but it's in many ways more fascinating and much more, you get much more of the theology. I use that with the little quotation marks around it. Of the Lord of the Rings by reading the Silmarillion than you do by getting the Lord of the Rings. So if she wants to say, hey, guess what? In my next book, which will be the backstory or an explanation, you're going to discover some things like Dumbledore's gay. It is good marketing. Of course, I don't think she has any trouble selling books or ever, ever, ever will. Well, various opinions abound. Recently on the O'Reilly Factor, Bill O'Reilly was interviewing a reporter from Entertainment Weekly who happened to be there at Carnegie Hall in New York City when J.K. Rowling made the revelation about Dumbledore. Here's that piece from Fox News.
Perhaps the most successful book series in the world is Harry Potter, who battles wizards and the occult, stuff like that. Author J.K. Rowling has sold an incredible 350 million books worldwide, with 7 Potter volumes. Now reports say Miss Rowling has outed one of her characters as gay, which is causing some concern. With us now to analyze, Tina Jordan, senior editor at Entertainment Weekly. Dumbledore. I don't know anything about this Potter stuff, so you can kick my butt here if
I'll
you want to.
I'll kick your butt. You're the last person in America not to read the books.
Listen, I have a lot to read, and Dumbledore and all of this. But here's what I don't understand, because I did study up on the story. If J.K. Rowling wanted to make the character gay, why didn't he just make the character gay? She just make the character gay, rather than going to Carnegie Hall in New York, and you were in the audience,
yes,
and announcing that he's gay. I don't get the strategy. Is it just publicity?
I don't think it's publicity. And first of all, I can't speak for her, because I didn't talk to her about this, but she made several things very clear. And the fact that he was gay, giving that away in an early volume might possibly have compromised a later plot point.
Okay, but here's what I'm talking about. Why have a gathering of Potter aficionados, mm-hmm, and then drop the gay bomb on them? Why do that?
Somebody asked the question. She answered the question.
The question was, is Dumbledore gay?
No, the question was along the lines of, did Dumbledore ever find true love? I'm paraphrasing.
True love.
That. Yeah.
Well, she could have said no or yes. She didn't have to say he's, you know, got a condo in Key West.
Well,
know,
that's,
I mean,
true. But,
you know,
but
why did she do it? She did it to provoke. I think this is a provocateur. This woman's a provocateur.
Well, she's a very smart woman.
I think she's a provocateur.
But let me say this. One thing she did say on Friday night was that the books were a prolonged plea for tolerance. And that's
okay.
A direct quote.
And that's a good thing, right?
Right.
Now, many parents are worried in America about the gay agenda and indoctrination of their children to see homosexuality in a certain way. That debate is raging all over the country. This now becomes part of that debate. Does it not?
But aren't those parents the same parents who are refusing to let their children read these books for
other
reasons?
I don't know if there's... Yeah, there are parents who don't want the wizards and witches and occult stuff. I don't know if they're the same. I think that's a narrow focus group, where I think the gay indoctrination thing is broader. So I think that here now... there is even more controversy in these books because of this statement that Miss Rowling made.
But I think that's a shallow argument. I think that kids are being brought up by and large today to tolerate. I think that by and large parents do preach acceptance to their kids.
In some areas they do. They don't want indoctrination, though, and I understand that.
But indoctrination is a very strong word. Listen, we all know gay people, whether we know it or not.
Yeah, but do you want your 7-year-old to have a book called Heather Has Two Mommies? And a lot of American parents do not. But anyway, this book, this is aimed at adolescents, right?
Right.
Now, Dumbledore is not overtly gay in the book, right?
Absolutely
not.
So
you wouldn't know whether he was gay or not.
And in fact, you don't know anything about the sex lives
of any
of the teachers.
Although those wizards, I'm very, very suspicious about what they're doing in their spare time.
Well, they are magic,
so I think
you know.
This is my conclusion, is that J.K. Rowling is a provocateur, did it on purpose, and now is just going to let all hell break loose. Last word?
I think that if she makes people think, if you realize that there are gay people out there, okay. We all know them. You know,
and now we know a number one. Now we know another one. Dumbledore. Thank you for coming in, Miss Jordan.
All right. Could you call that an interview? Whenever Bill O'Reilly interviews someone, it's not so much an interview as here's what I think. And then the other person gets a few seconds to talk and then he starts talking about what he's thinking again. Oh, I did notice something, though, with the Entertainment Weekly's reporter. She said children today are taught tolerance. And then she went on and took it a step further. She said, children today are taught to accept. Now, there's a huge difference between in fact, tolerance and acceptance are the opposite of one another. Did you know that? They're not the same thing. I think children should be taught tolerance. True tolerance, which is when there's someone or something with which you vehemently disagree or you consider it to be wrong or whatever it may be. You don't kill them, you don't hurt them, and you do not discriminate against them. That's tolerance. The difference between tolerance and acceptance is they're opposite of one another. Acceptance is, I agree with you and I accept it. Tolerance is, I disagree with you, but I'm not going to kill you. So, what are you making of the J.K. Rowling revelation that Dumbledore is gay? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, issue ZTC at KFUO.org. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, October the 24th, and it's audio open lines. Does it change your view of the books? Does it give you one more reason to say, aha, now we know for sure that these books were spawned and penned by the devil himself? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. DB is calling from his car. Hi, DB.
Hi, Todd. I actually have not read the books myself. My wife has, and I've seen the movies. I know it's not the same thing, but, early on when these books were first coming out, I was in youth ministry and a lot of Christians were rejecting them because of the occult reasons. But as I discussed these things with my wife and saw the movies and things, I realized they weren't any more troubling than a lot of things out there. And I found them to be actually in a lot of ways wholesome and good and decent. And then when I actually began hearing on this show discussions of the possibility of purposefully Christian themes and underpinnings to the story, I was really fascinated and really interested then and started reading them myself, especially as before my children do. They're not old enough now to. And I have to admit, now that I've heard this, I'm really disappointed. I don't think I would have been so shocked or disappointed or bothered by it if I hadn't heard the discussions this last year about the possibility of these books actually having an overtly Christian, Christian theme to them. So I find myself really torn by it because I think I was really kind of tainted by what some thought might be the theme of Rowling's books, and now I'm seeing that this may not have been her intention.
All right, DB, thank you very much. As I mentioned before, Rowling has said, among the other things she said recently, that she has intentionally employed Christian symbolism and themes in the books. Now, let's see. Let's just say for the sake of argument, and I'm just go with me. I haven't even gone all the way myself. Say for the sake of argument that we were to uncover a lost letter of J.R.R. Tolkien. There are a lot of his letters. He lived in the letter writing age. We uncovered a lost letter of J.R.R. Tolkien in which he revealed that Gandalf from his Ring trilogy, the wizard who is kind of the Dumbledore of Middle-earth, if he revealed that Gandalf is gay. I mean, you never see Gandalf hanging out with the women, always traipsing around with a bunch of men. And what if he revealed, oh, yes, by the way, he's attracted to the same sex. And we found this some 50 years down the line. Now, it would obviously be somewhat scandalous, but probably most Christians who have seen the Christian symbolism that J.R.R. Tolkien wove into those novels would say, you know, although I'm disappointed, it doesn't detract that much from it for me. Is that your position here when it comes to Dumbledore being gay? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Very wisely, Pastor Lehman pointed out that after he gave it some thought, he wasn't too surprised that J.K. Rowling would make one of her characters, even a big character, gay in the books without making it clear in the books at all, because it's very consistent with the church she belongs to. She's a Christian of the Church of England variety, and talk about tolerance. Tolerance with the redefined tolerance, which is, in fact, acceptance and affirmation. Ray has written us, and he says, now that J.K. Rowling has already made millions of dollars on the Harry Potter books, she's using this period of prosperity and popularity to advertise her political agenda. Could be. Could be. Although you'd think she'd get more done if she did it in her home country. Al's calling from his car. Hi, Al.
Sunshine. I've been listening to this off and on over quite a period of time, and I listened to you guys analyze this book, and I think maybe something that you're missing in analyzing this book is you analyze it from your point of view. And you can have different professionals on there, whether it be pastors or whatever, that are book specialists. And you can come up with conclusions that there may be some good areas in these books, but you got to keep in mind the average reader of these books probably is, what, 10 years old? So are they going to get the correct slant out of these books? I mean, what do you think, huh?
Well, I think it's a good good caution, obviously. First of all, yes, we examine them from our perspective. What other perspective would we examine them from? I'm incapable of examining anything from a different perspective than the one I occupy. So I'm pretty comfortable with my perspective, and I guess you could call it a bias. Most certainly is. I'll admit to it openly. And you're right. Looking at this thing at the level of kind of experts in literature or whatever that may be, as we have done from time to time on this program, is not the same as a 10-year-old reader. But what we pointed out, and we're talking mostly here to the parents, aren't we? Yeah. Is that, yes, there is intentional Christian symbolism in here, trying to caution against the knee-jerk reaction, which is, it's got wizards in it, from the devil, cannot enjoy it, should not enjoy it, and can have nothing good to offer but just by way of good literature or entertainment. Trying to guard against that knee-jerk reaction. Now, to be fair, if J.K. Rowling would have come out at some point and said, oh, by the way, I'm Wiccan, I think witchcraft is great, and I'm in league with the devil, and thanks for all your money, we obviously would say, okay, we misread the books. And please don't let your children read them. But she has, in fact, said she's a Christian, although a very decidedly liberal type. She's a Christian who's intentionally written Christian symbolism and themes into her books. And it is true that the books themselves never say or even hint at any homosexuality on the part of the character Dumbledore. So how would a 10-year-old pick that one up? Here's Al again, calling from his car. Hi, Al.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I got cut off before. I wanted to kind of finish that discussion with you. And I just listened to what you had to say there. And I think that's the biggest mistake we're making here. And in my opinion, it's kind of like, oh, let's see, compare things. Let's say you're dealing with a stove. Parent knows it's hot. Child doesn't. So you're just going to go ahead and let that child mess around with that stove? No, we won't. And the average parents today, you say rely on the average parents, and let's try and teach them not to. Average parents today, Todd, in reality, they don't have a clue what their kids are reading.
But, Al, how would a 10-year-old reading the books get the fact that the character is gay when it's not in the books?
If it's, well, I'm just a gay fact. Let's just separate that out. All that is, that's just a promotional ploy. I mean, that's just simple marketing. All right? You take that away, you got all the rest of the stuff that's left in the book. And you talk on average 10. If you want to interview some people, why don't you interview 10-year-olds that have read this book?
All right. Well, let me ask you one more question before I let you go, Al. So I assume, given what you've said, that you would strongly recommend against any Christian parent letting their children read the Lord of the Rings or the Narnia Chronicles too.
Well, I'm not so much getting into Narnia. I think you're talking two potentially different issues there.
They have witchcraft, they have wizards, they have magic,
right.
They have good and evil witches and wizards and
right.
and just about everything that Harry Potter has too.
But you gotta admit, Todd, they have a more open and clear vision of that. This Harry Potter stuff, it's very distorted and it's very colored, and then come out with a gay stamp on it. I mean, come on, you know, this thing has no good roots.
Well,
and honestly,
give me an example in the books of how it is distorted or how it's colored.
I haven't even read the book, Todd, and I won't read the book. I've talked to young people that have, and those young people have no clue. That's where the damage is being done. They're not being read by their parents and then handed the book and saying, kids, go ahead and read it, but throw these bones out and keep the meat. They're just turning these books over to these kids. And by giving, honestly, to me, by giving this stuff airtime, you're just making this balloon, or hoping the balloon fly higher, and I think it's very, very dangerous.
All right, Al, thank you. Well, Al was given it airtime, too. We just gave him about 6 minutes of airtime where he talked about Harry Potter extensively. Help pushing the balloon up. Look, the balloon's going without this little radio program. There's no doubt about that. Okay, as I said, guarding against a knee-jerk reaction that is based upon no direct knowledge of the books. With all due respect, Al, you make statements, definitive statements about the books that you haven't read. What if someone made statements like that about the Bible? What if they said it's distorted, it's weird, it's got crazy characters in it? And then you say, have you read it? And they said, no. Now, I'm not comparing Harry Potter with the Bible, but you would have reason to question someone's conclusions about a book if they have no real basis upon which to make the conclusions. You've talked to some 10-year-olds, and the fact that 10-year-olds are clueless is an evidence that the books... You see what I'm saying, Al? The fact that 10-year-olds are clueless about the books isn't evidence that the books are doing them harm. 10-year-olds are clueless about just about everything they read. And by golly, the parents better be reading these books with their kids. Every single guest we've ever had has said, whatever you think of the books, good, bad, in between, don't let your kids read them without you. And it's always been a recommendation. To any parent that says, hey, I'm just going to hand it to the kid and let them read it. Any parent that hands their kid just about any book and says, go ahead and read it. Even the Bible, because heretics love the Bible. More heretics have been made from reading the Bible and misinterpreting it. Whatever our kids are reading, we ought to be reading with them. When we come back from this break, it's the third hour of Issues Etc. Al, thank you very much for the call. Some audio open lines, more of your thoughts and comments on the Harry Potter series and the latest revelations. Stay tuned.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.